So good morning. In order to understand more deeply the significance of counting the Omer, we should look at the prayers. If you turn to page 149, it's Philip Colper. Can you all turn, please, possible? So, here at the bottom of the page is the short prayer many people say before counting the Omer, where they quote the verse from the book of Vayikra, Pashel Emor, chapter 23, where it says, Fatem lachem mohorat shabbat, you should count for yourselves from the morrow of the Shabbat, miyom aviyachem, from the day when you bring the Omer hatnufa, the Omer which is waved upwards. Sheva Shabbatot Motiel, there should be seven complete Shabbos, Ad Morot Shabbat Hashvir, until the morrow of the seventh Shabbat, you should count 50 days. Tisperu Hamishim Yom, Bikraftem Ilcha Chadashah Hashem, and with the 50th day, you bring a new offering to Hashem. And as we've already discussed, and I'm sure all of you know, that the Omer was a small tenth of an ephah, it was a small amount of barley flour. And then on Shavuot, it's in the sanctuary of Beit HaMikdash, they brought the Omer on the day after Pesach, the night after Pesach, perhaps the day after Pesach. And then the two loaves of bread were brought on Shavuot. And they were specifically loaves of bread to the chometz. And then we count the Omer. So our custom, let's see, our custom, the Ashkenazim, is to count it. Well, to from the first day, let's go today's date. His date is the 24th of Iyar. So that's Tishah Shloshim Yom. We say it's 39 days. Shem Chamisha Shavuot Vavayim Ba'om. That's on page 153. But amongst very many of the Sephardi ways of counting it, count it somewhat differently. Say, Hayom, Shmunav Shlashim Le'Omer.
Not the same as yours.
So this, I brought quite a lot up here.
I don't think we've become Tamazon. Ma 153 is Brikat Hamazon.
Okay. So there are no more there? I brought up quite a few. So it's Hayom. So you can't find her at Sfira Ta'omer? Find a different page.
I'll find a different
page. It's after Marev. Yeah. It's after Marev. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Can't find it.
So it's they first count the days La'omer. Tishim Shoshim La'omer. Sheheim Chamisha Shavuot Vabayim La'omer. Vepachim Chamisha Shavuot Vabayamim. This is also the Yemenite way, and many Sephardi Kehillot counted in that manner. So I want to explain, this is quite significant. First of all, there's a statement made in the Gemara, Abaye, also in fact it's brought in, also in the Brisa, somewhere else, that it's a mitzvah to count the days, mitzvah to count the weeks. And then we have a basic difference of opinion. There's the opinion of Tosfot, and apparently also Rashi, and also Desaila, that according to the Rosh, that today we have no Omer, we have no Beit HaMikdash, as a result of which we don't really have a mitzvah of the Torah to come with the Omer. And according to this view, you will see that after the counting of the Omer, in fact, it's not brought so much in these Siddurim, but you find that in nearly all the Siddurim of the strict Ashkenazim, it's also brought here briefly. This is brought on page 150. And you find it immediately after the first day of the Omer, Bracha, the first day, says, Rabbi Miyazel Lana Gorbech, Amikdash Lim Koma, Meir of Himeinu. You will say, especially when May Hashem bring us back the service of the Beit HaMikdash. And the emphasis on this prayer is following the view that today we don't have Beit HaMikdash, therefore counting of the Omer is not Minatora, it's just Zeichel HaMikdash. This has halachic ramifications because, simply speaking, the Shulchan Aruch seems to follow this view that it is Drabanan today, because we don't have the Omer isn't brought today. The Omer is an offering; it can't bring offerings. We have no Beit HaMikdash, so we look for time Beit HaMikdash, but we can count Minat Torah. We have the opposing view of the Rambam, who clearly says it's the mitzvah of the Torah today also. And the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvot, we describe the mitzvah, he says, it's also when it says there are two mitzvot, one mitzvah is counting the days and the other one is counting the weeks, there are two parts of one mitzvah. Although the source for there being two different mitzvahs is taken from two different sections of the Chumash. The verse which we quoted before, it does mention the Omer, it mentions the new offering brought on Shavuot, but the emphasis Baruch Hamishim Yom, you've got to count up till 50 days. So it mentions the day counting explicitly. And then it says those days that you count have to include the Shabbat. It's got to be seven complete Shabbatot which should be included. Now when the Bright and Abai, when they say it's a mitzvah to count the days, they quote the verse from the book of Vayikra, from Emor, 23rd chapter of Vayikra. But when they quote the mitzvah of the weeks, they quote the verse brought in Devarim, in Parshat Re'eh, which we described yesterday at greater length, where it says, also a list of festivals, but does not include Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, only the three pilgrim festivals, and the central aspect of the calendar, as described in Sefer Devarim, is in preparation for entry into Eretz Yisrael, and there it says, Me'achil Chermesh Bakti, Shiva Shavuot Tisbalok, there it's called Shavua. And that is the origin of the name for the festival of Shavuot, which is not mentioned in Emor. It doesn't use the word Shavuot. It says, Sheva Shabbatot Timotiena. It emphasizes Shabbatot, but not Shavua. It might be, it was the same thing, isn't it? No, it's not the same. We'll analyze that soon. So there they bring the verse, concentrating upon the harvest of Eretz Israel, where the first of the harvest is the Omer, but doesn't use the word Omer. It's surprising. It's just that when the scythe begins to cut the standing grain, that's when you start counting the 7 weeks, and at the conclusion of the 7 weeks, you celebrate the Chag Shavuot, Hashem Lokecha, in Yerushalayim. So it's like this. We explained yesterday, go into it more deeply, and I'm bringing together a lot of sources, and we see there's a deep teaching here. And the depth of the teaching is through a third halachic opinion, which some say is also really the basis of the opinion of the Rambam. Why did the Rambam say it applies even today, when it's linked to the offerings in the temple? So why does he say it applies even when there's no temple? Because of the honor, the counting of the days, which is mentioned, miyom aviyachem. It doesn't say from when you actually bring it, from the day when you should be bringing it. So Rabbi Yeruchim, who was one of the early Rishonim, he says, to count the days is a mitzvah, one mitzvah, to count the weeks is a second mitzvah. In the time of the temple, it said two brachot. They said one bracha on counting the days, and one bracha on counting the weeks. Counting the weeks you learn out from the Devarim, where it doesn't mention the days at all. And counting the days, we learn out from Emma, where it seems to mention Shabbatot. Also, some people think it means the week. So, according to the analysis which you made in a previous year, I want to put it as follows. It has to do with the definition of Omer. So, do you remember, why should the barley grain offering, why is it called Omer? What does Omer really mean? Do any of you remember?
Yeah, a bundle.
Can you tell me what Omer mean?
A bundle.
Pardon?
A bundle.
A what? A bundle. A
bundle.
So what's got to do with a barley grain?
It has to be bundled, brought bundled to the Beit HaMikdash, not loose.
But what is the Omer? How is the Omer defined in the Chumash?
Measurement.
The Omer Vayamod, we went back to the first time the Omer is mentioned.
The
Omer is not the bundle of bread. No. It's an amount of flour that says, they measured the amount of mon that came down in the desert before there was a temple. Before the giving of the Aseret HaDibrot, before any other mention of Shabbat in the Torah, except right in the first chapter. In the first chapter of Bereshit, it says, He blessed the seventh day. It's not called the Shabbat third. It says, Kibo Shabbat Mikol Melachto. It doesn't mention the root Shabbat. It's the day when Hashem rests from His creation. And where do we find this in nature? We find it by the mon. This is the blessing of the mon, which came on Erev Shabbat, and none came on Shabbat. And that's the holiness of the mon. And the holiness of the mon, which came from heaven, was that there was no mon on Shabbat. In other words, we have to take the portion of physical life from Hashem, the 6 days. On the seventh day, we have to demonstrate, by not doing any creative work, that all creative work which we have from nature comes from Hashem's creation, and not from the human being. And that's why from there we have the root that Shabbat is the source of the livelihood for the people of Israel when they're wandering in the desert, and also when we're wandering through all the different trials of life. Now the Shabbat, this is the first demonstration of the supernatural Shabbat, which overcame the laws of ordinary laws of nature. That this man was there all the week, was not there on Shabbat. And to remember this, it's described in Parshat Bishalach, shortly after the great miracle of the splitting of the sea. So there we have the long Parshat Hamon, and there it says the Omer three times. The Omer is a measure. And what measure is it? It's the measure that a person requires for his sustenance, for each individual. So therefore, it's a law for the individual. The individual Jew has to know he and his family are provided for by not only the Creator, but the one who has Hashgacha, who has covenant providence over every human being and every member of Am Yisrael. And when we, whether we're wandering in the desert of wandering the desert of the nations, because wandering in the desert is referred to in the prophet Yirmiyahu as being a premonition of wandering amongst all the nations of the world, being the wandering Jew. And you, the wandering Jew, is also the wandering Jew. The fact that the Jews are exiled all over the world and scattered everywhere and generally have to face great difficulties. Sometimes we have times of fortune, but unfortunately, too frequently, times of great misfortune. That's happening today all over the world. And there are attacks upon Jews. So we're also wondering, what's going on with it? We're the people of Hashem, and we have to wander from place to place, but Hashem looks after us. And we have to know each individual will be able to reach happiness. We already explained the concept of mon instead of the concept of lechem. Lechem is milchama, is the fighting struggle for survival. And mon is to recognize that everything we have in the world is a portion given to us by Hashem. And a person is given his particular portion, and if he feels happy with this, he'll never have a lack of anything, because he'll say, Hashem gives me everything. The middle of Yaakov Venus is actually called, I've got everything I need. And if he has more, it also rots away, unless he gives it away. So that's the lesson of the Omer. The lesson of the Omer is a deep lesson in recognizing Hashem, and the one looks after every individual. Now, to reach the giving of the Torah, the people of Israel, even when wandering in the desert, they had to count the days. They had the custom to count the days when they went out from Egypt until they reached Sinai to receive the Torah. And each individual Jew had to internalize the lesson of the Omer, the lesson of the Mon. There's no other way. They had to learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us. So therefore, even afterwards, when you no longer have not in your land, and you're separate tied, and you can't harvest anything, because it belongs really to you, because there's no law of bringing offerings outside Eretz Yisrael in the temple. And you have to go again into the desert of the nations. You've all got a mitzvah to go and count the Omer. Because the counting of the Omer goes back before there was a sanctuary and in the desert. And before there was also a temple. And it carries on when there's no temple. And when we're not in the land. And therefore, the Rabbi Yerucham says, every Jew has got the duty to count the days. Because counting the days, as we already described, a few of you got this yourselves as well to understand. To count the day means to keep on growing day by day. So every day is a new opportunity to grow further, to learn from your mistakes and not to repeat them, and to go face the tests of the new day. Each day has its new challenges, and at each stage to be able to go up one step, instead of remaining static, or worse still, going further down. Because the truth is, life is, we call it descending escalator in English. In American, you call it descending moving stairs. And we know it's a big sport of children to try to reach the top of descending moving stairs. And really, that's life, what those children try to do. Because if we do nothing, we stagnate. We vegetate, that's what happens to us. But if we face each day as a ladder in which you have to go step by step to reach the heights, to fulfill the maximum of your potential, that's the way, day by day to fill up, day by day getting up, day by day by doing chesed every day by improving your midot. You have to work day by day. So that's a mitzvah min haTorah. And I say that the halachic aspect of Rabbi Yerucham, who says, quite right, Rabbi Yerucham, who says, there are two sources. One source is tied to the land, doesn't mention days, that's something different. The one in the Varim is before they enter the land. But the one mentioned Emo is a duty of every person. Just like in Emo it mentioned Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is a duty on each individual. Each individual has to hear the shofar, wherever he is. Not only in the land of Israel, anywhere in the world. He doesn't have to come to Yerushalayim. No, Yerushalayim is something else. Yerushalayim is a special concept. When you have your own land, then you've got to learn centrality of the nation by coming to Yerushalayim 3 times a year. And that's in Parshas Re'eh. But in Parshas Emor, Yom Kippur, every person's got a fast. Although we know this is special. The height of Avodah is Avodat Yom HaKippurim of the Kohen Gadol, but the Jewish people, they don't go to Yerushalayim on Yom Kippur. No.
Oh, yeah.
No. The most holy days. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you do the service of Hashem at home. Yeah? You don't go like today. I don't know, some people have got this idea, I'm almost sure, of Nachum Breslov in his kever. I know how much he loved Yerushalayim. He would much have preferred everybody celebrates, if it's able to be in Yerushalayim, you should celebrate Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Yerushalayim. And in fact, there was a movement in Breslov to move his kever to Eretz Yisrael, which is a parrot from his own writings that he would have preferred, instead of remaining in the terrible place of Ukraine, which was the area of the Chalmiki massacres, and again also at the time of the Holocaust. But, I mean, you know, we've got an opportunity to be near to the Kotel. He would have preferred also to be buried on Har HaZeitim, to be reburied. And there was a campaign which I was ready to support from one of the Breslovers to do that. But still, so we're in a situation that there's a lot of money made as a result by the Ukrainians. Yeah, by just going once a day. But that's as an aside. But the Iker is, counting the Omer is something which is applied all over the world. Because the origin of the Omer is not the offering. That's not the offering which you have to bring on the second day of Pesach. No. It's the origin of the Omer is the mon in the desert. So this is, I think, also the basis for the Rambam. Some say this. The Rambam says today it's a mitzvah min HaTorah for everybody. He regards it as one mitzvah. There's two parts to it. So one part of it is quite true, is connected with the Beit HaMikdash. But there's another part which applies universally, wherever the Jew is. He's got to count the Omer. Just like Yom Kippur applies also for everybody. It's not mentioned in Parshat Re'eh. So Parshat Re'eh deals with the national. So this is a deep concept that the only question we have to ask, why is it said, it's got to be 7 complete Shabbatot. Why does it say that in Parshat Emor? Which implies the counting of the weeks is also min HaTorah. And it's connected with the offering. It's mentioned together with the offering. So perhaps we can answer like this. That the concept, there's two concepts. One concept is the service of Hashem day by day and to grow through it to the highest level. That's the concept of the 7 times 7 count days that have to be counted. There's a different concept of the purification of the nation. And also even purification of people who are impure. Where we do find that the place from which everyone who becomes impure can become purified, part of it is connected closely with the Beit HaMikdash. Namely, that purification from being impure with connection with the dead. And today, for example, all of us have tumat met. Nearly all of us become impure through connection with the dead. And the law is that the only way you can come purified is through the red heifer, Tara Adumah. It's interesting there's so many signs that we're approaching the time of the Mashiach, and one of them is also that in Lakewood there is someone who is carefully looking after the red cow that was born at his farm, and in fact somebody wanted to buy it from him, he wouldn't sell it for $1 million. He's looking after it day after day in different ways to make sure that all the laws concerning the red heifer will become fulfilled. They can only become fulfilled if there's a Beit HaMikdash or near a Beit HaMikdash. And then one can fulfill it, and one can perhaps reach a level when Jewish people will be pure enough to return to the service of the Beit HaMikdash. So we see Tumah and Tara is closely connected throughout the Chumash, as I'm sure you realize, any of you who've even read through the Chumash superficially, that we hope we'll be able to come to that level of Tara. So that level of Tara you can't reach in America. You want to stay there all the time. Or not even in Stamford and in London. You can't reach that Tumah, that Tara from that Tumah. In other words, real Tara at the ultimate level can only come with the Geula, with the redemption in Eretz Israel. Now, this is a concept which has to do with the national center of Am Yisrael. The national center of Am Yisrael is Eretz Israel. And the highest level is Yerushalayim and the Har HaBayit. So this is closely connected with the concept of the week. Why? Because the whole concept that the foundation of Am Yisrael came through the seven Ushpizim, the seven great leaders of Am Yisrael, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe and Aaron, and Yosef HaTzadik, David HaMelech. And all this follows, as you know, the seven Midot. There are seven basic qualities which we find attached to these great personalities. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This is the power of Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet. And Moshe, and Aaron, and Netzach, and Hod. Yosef HaTzadik is Yesod, and Malchut is David HaMelech. So these are the seven, both the seven basic, deeper moral qualities which have to enter into the lifestyle of the people of Israel, and the national leaders are these that we've mentioned. These are also the ways in which Hashem's great spiritual power enters into the life of mankind through the people of Israel. So this is the concept of the week. And it goes much deeper, because the entry of an animal to be fit for sacrifice is first got to be 7 days, and then the 8th day can be sacrificed. Also, the level of the Kohen Gadol, that was the highest level of the Beit HaMikdash, is 8. It's going into not just the way in which Hashem reveals himself in nature, but to reach a supernatural level. It's therefore the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash, its highest level, is connected with number 8. The way in which a Gentile can become a Jew, and the way in which, in fact, we'll put it better, the way in which a person is born to a Jewish mother can really enter into the Jewish nation, is through the Brit Milah. And it's said explicitly in the 17th chapter of Bereshit, where Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Milah, together with the mitzvah of Milah was given Eretz Israel. But Eretz Israel has got a supernatural aspect to it, which comes by Am Yisrael working hard to recognize the power of Hashem in nature. The 7 days, and the 8th day represents the level of the highest redemption of Am Yisrael in the service of the Beit HaMikdash. That's why the sages also say the 8th dimension is the dimension of the coming of the Mashiach, and the 7 is the dimension we can reach in all the more natural events of history, to recognize the power of Hashem in nature. And really, this goes together with the Hebrew language, which is often an indication of psychological, philosophical basis of reality. So the number Sheva is also the root, the verbal root is in fact Shavua, to make an oath. Really, people often ask, what's the difference if a person makes an oath or he promises? What's the difference between making a promise and making an oath? Any difference?
Promise towards man, Shavua towards Hashem.
Yeah, because the Shavua means bringing Hashem into it. And this, we know that originally the faith of mankind, Adam HaRishon, he knew that Hashem existed. So Shavua originally was a reference, I say by the name of Hashem that this is true. Now, in the Gentile world, you also find their oaths are, many of them, are distortions of Hashem. They became idolaters, and therefore, by them, the difference was, they made an oath by their God. They knew there was a supernatural power. Only their supernatural power, they either thought it was the sun or the moon, or it was the tree, or it was some other form of animation. They said, this is my God, or these are my gods. So this is just a distortion of the original entry of the power of Hashem into the world of nature. And really it goes back to what is declared today by thousands of scientists. They say science proves the existence of God. How does it prove it? Through this, through the principle of harmony. And the whole concept of seven is the one of harmony. There is a non-phenomenological, and a non-empirical, it's called non-empirical aspect to all the phenomena that exist. All areas of nature, when you start studying more deeply, they go back to energy, and energy goes back to a non-material energy. As one of the popular, some of the greatest philosopher of science used to say that modern science has demonstrated the concrete world has gone through the science, has slipped through the scientific net, and all that we see is a spiritual essence, which is the basis of the material universe. So, as another one says, the science tries to read the mind of God, the creator. And what's Einstein's definition of God? He also looks at it. God is the principle of harmony, which you find and discover in all areas of nature. And the concept of Sheva is the harmony principle. Of all the different, is the concept of the 6 days, which are external aspects of nature, the different grades of nature, which, however, Shabbat Ve'inefash, they all demonstrate that behind everything is the soul power of Hashem. So that's the concept of the seven. The eight is going beyond it. Being able, let's say, the human nature, which has its aspect also in the reproductory limbs that we possess, which give the possibility of the human race to be creative and to be procreative. This is something which we subject to the covenant with Hashem, the Brit. The sign of the Brit is the eight. The Hashem is a supernatural power, even above nature, and can change nature. When a person says, I've got to do what comes naturally, so we as Jews say, no, we can control our nature. Because we've got inside ourselves a holy neshama, which is the breath of God. That's the eighth dimension. So therefore, when we come to Shavuot, also the same thing. Tisburu Hamishim Yom, after 7 times 7, we reach the eighth level with giving the Torah. And the Torah is always defined as the eighth level. It comes out most prominently in the 190th chapter of Tehillim. What is that? Then do you know? 109th chapter, the longest chapter in Tehillim.
119.
Alphabeta. Yeah, how many verses?
22 times 8.
Which is how much?
Which is 20 times 8.
172. 176.
It's 8. So that's 22 times times 8. And in fact, that chapter was called Tanya Apya, because every aspect of Torah, it begins with the word Ashrei Tmimei Derech HaHolchem B'Torah Shel. Happy are those whose path is one of Tamimot. That means a path that leads to perfection. It does not mean that they're actually completely perfect, but on the path of perfection. So the Torah is the pattern that leads human beings to the path of perfection, which is you go up the ladder of the 7 times 7 and reach the 8th level given to the Torah. And just like you find in chapter 19 of Tehillim, which is the heavens declare the glory of Hashem, the first 7 verses describe the harmony of God shown in nature, of the universe, and the 8th verse begins with Torah Tashay Yatamima, Torah Tashay Tamima, Torah Tashem Tamima, Mershi Basnofesh. The perfect Torah, what does it do? It brings back the soul of the universe to Am Yisrael who keep the Torah. It's the tongue that revives the nefesh. It tells you you've got a divine soul, which is the 8th level, which is even higher than the harmony of ordinary nature. It is reaching a level of supernature. It's from Asher Tamimei Derech. All this leads us to understand this pasuk. You find here, as mentioned at the beginning, before we go and count the Omer, we use the pasuk, there should be Sheva Shabbatot Tamimot Tiena. The 7 Shabbatot are all ways to reach a high level of perfection. In other words, the concept of the Shabbat is that we've got to recognize the way to reach the soul is to improve the 7 Midot in our lives. For those 7 Midot, which we described before briefly, each day you should reach a higher and a higher level. And as you'll find, so this is closely connected with what you find in the Siddur. But if you look carefully, the first day, it says at the end, Chesed Shebechesed. The starting point is the highest level of loving kindness as demonstrated by Avraham Avinu. Then you have, in Chesed, you have 7 levels. Gevura. Chesed means constantly doing loving kindness, recognizing that is the basis of changing yourself. Because you couldn't change yourself if you're willing to recognize you are put in this world of mankind, to help others. Because Hashem has put you in this world, He's given you everything. Therefore, you can only reach Hashem if you also keep giving. That's why the emphasis in the whole life of Avraham Avinu is to keep giving. He was even willing to have a shidduch for his son from a family that had left belief in one God. They were idolaters, and they lived amongst idolaters. But if you saw in them chesed, you saw here there's a girl who will do anything to help other people, to help a wayfarer, comes with strangers and comes with animals, has nothing to drink. Chesed sheba chesed. And even when he had a brit milah and he was in pain, he did not give up, standing even in the heat of the day outside in order to see if there's any stranger who needs to have a bit of a rest in a tent and be able to have food and drink in that tent. It's chesed shebechesed. So this is even when there was an anti-chesed society in Sodom, who didn't allow any loving kindness, and therefore Hashem thought, well, they are the exact opposite of Avraham Avinu, but before I remove them from life in this, in one of the most luxurious areas, I must see what Avraham has to say. Because after all, they are the ones who are the antithesis of his life. And Avraham said, well, you've got to see, maybe there's a few innocent people
You can't destroy them.
So it shows how far his chesed went. So that's the beginning of the counting. And then we count seven different grades of chesed. Then we count the power of gevura. Gevura means you've also got to have, with your chesed, you sometimes need strong gevura. If you're constantly doing chesed, you might be too tolerant, as is happening today. There are many Jews who are very, very big Bali chesed, and they say, well, you know, the suicide bombers, we have to be kind to them. And even if they want to continue murdering innocent people, well, you know, you can't, you can only change them through kindness. And therefore we have the situation of the revolving prisons. And the prisoners who know for sure that there's no capital punishment, and therefore they can start finding ways of deceiving others that they're no longer murderers, or even to come out with that intention still even being publicized, will just be more cruel. So, you know, you've got to have gevura sometimes to recognize if someone comes to kill you or to kill many innocent people, then it's your duty sometimes to disarm them, to wound them. If that's not enough, sometimes you've got to kill them. As self-defense. So therefore there's a limit also to tolerating evil in this world. Therefore part of the commandments, so you've got Ivatara Mikebecha, you have to destroy evil and not allow through the principle of very kindly universal tolerance to show the other cheek when somebody hits you on one cheek, and not resist any form of violence by resisting physically. So this is not the way of Hashem demands from us. So we have to learn gevura also, just like Hashem. And so we go, all not describing now each midah, not that time, all these midah go on until on the last day, it's Malchut Sheba Malchut. David HaMelech represents recognizing Hashem as king, and to recognize the ultimate kingship of Hashem in our lives. As we say also in Aleinu, we look forward to the time, V'kablu kulam et ol machotecha. We look forward to the time when Hashem will remove Nafnot Elecha Kol Ish Haaretz. It doesn't say to destroy all the wicked. He should turn all the wicked to do teshuva and come back to you. And therefore, that's what we have to work on today. Make all Am Yisrael, and through Am Yisrael the rest of the world, into a Bali teshuva, but do our part. And that might bring the Malchut. So I'll just share with you what I mentioned briefly yesterday. So I'll mention it now to everybody, that when you think that, you know, there's a Ya'ir Lapid, means let, the Lapid is a flame. It says by the giving of the Torah, the people saw the flames that were burning at the time when the Torah was given. So it came as a shock, but it was through the shock they woke up. They trembled, the mountain trembled, but they woke up. They woke up to listen to the voice of Hashem, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. So there, Ya'ir Lapid. Ya'ir means let the flame shine with light. That's Ya'ir Lapid. His father, Tommy Lapid, was a Holocaust survivor. And he turned his head. And to some extent, you know, it says already in the Parsha, you'll become a sugar from the persecution that you go through. And there's no question, hundreds of thousands of Jews came completely from sugar. They became insane. And sometimes even if you go and read a lot of Holocaust stories, it can drive you crazy to think and to imagine what those people went through. And the people as a result says, I can't believe anymore. To some extent, not their fault. They were in such a terrible situation, it was impossible for them to believe anymore Hashem was looking after them. Although they were great saints who were able to do it. But that is to be a very great saint. And even the big saints recognized it. The saints have survived. And the Hasidim wanted to be with them. And they said, when the Rebbe came to visit them, then he went away. When he went away, they asked the Rebbe, "No, to whom should we go for a blessing now?" Because they wanted the blessing of the Rebbe. So he said to them, many more than one Rebbe, said to the Hasidim, "You don't need to look far. Go into any shul and see when there's a person who's putting on his arm to fill in, and you see a number on his arm, that's the greatest Rebbe we have today. If someone has been through that, hell, and he comes out as a believer, and even comes to shul to put on tefillin, he's a much greater saint than I'll ever be. That's the greatest saint. Get a blessing from him." So when you've been through such situations, we melamed zechut. But also, he found a place in the government, but I'll tell you what his zechut is. He was very much against Christian missionaries, because he recognized that the Holocaust was partly influenced by leaders of Christianity. There were far and few in between who helped the Jews. Yeah. And there were others who tried to force the Jews to become baptized and use cruel methods. And there was a question of what the Pope did, but it certainly didn't do enough. And there were some of them very cruel. So he became very anti-Christian missionaries. And therefore I say, I would ask somebody to start pulling the ropes, that there's due to be a 4-day convention of all the leaders from the whole world of the J4J movement, which the movement is trying hard to get Jews to come to Christianity. You know, they say you can still keep the mitzvot. Yeah, keep the mitzvot like like the Son of God did. He also kept the mitzvot. So you keep the mitzvot, but you've got to serve him. You've got to know it's the Son of God.
I'd rather serve God. Huh? I'd rather serve God than the Son. I am a son of God, so we're on the same level. Why would I serve
you? You're right.
How would I serve someone?
Okay, I'm not saying... I'm saying we must... I hope that Yair Lapid, because he's following, trying to bring more light to what his father tried to do, didn't achieve, to banish the Haredi influence. He didn't achieve it. And he's trying to do it. Okay, let him do something which his father would approve of, to go and stop this missionary 4-day convention, which is also taking place on Shavuot, for 4 days. And they've rented a hall, which under the supervision of the municipality,
Jerusalem,
there's a big battle going on, yonder. And the Supreme Court has given the permission, so we have to work against it. Maybe our tefillah is Yair Lapid will help to abolish it, and on the contrary, that all these Jews they'll join, invited to join learning sessions, many different teshuva groups and organizations, as a result, they recognize that no such thing. We are that all Am Yisrael, in fact the whole world, are all called children of God. We're all children of God. And therefore, all children of God can turn to God directly. So thereby, we reach Am Yitzhak Hashem, the 50th level, and maybe even the time when Kablu Kulam et Ol Malchutecha b'malchut she b'malchut.